CliffCentral.com.
We're on. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Da 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 da. We're live. Okay. So,
if it makes you feel better, you're sleeping in tomorrow.
Oh, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow like you can't believe. What are you talking about? It's going to, I mean, I think I might even sleep the whole weekend. What the hell? So we are here. Sorry about the delay, everybody. All right. Weekend plans. Sia, got anything to boast about for this weekend?
No. And this weekend, I really, really, really hope I do get to stay in. I always say that. And then, you know, weekends become weekends and people call you and people come over and whatnot. I really would like to sit and stay at home this weekend.
Yeah. Melissa says, Gareth sounds like he's still waking up. Winter is not his friend.
Yeah.
That's true.
Winter is no one's friend.
No.
This happens to all of us.
The worst part is, like, I'm in my own house. I have no reason to be late, you know? It's ridiculous. And Pichleng is just giving us a bit of hell here. He says, these clowns owe us an apology for being so late. You know what, Pichleng? Let's not start Friday.
It takes no prisoners.
Yeah, let's not start Friday antagonistic towards each other. It won't go well from here on in. I've got so much funny shit to show you this morning. I know we've got to start the show with serious things, or we've got to at least start with something that means something, but I've got to start with this. There it is again.
Yeah.
Just so that everybody doesn't... You know, this Joe Biden... The Biden and Carter picture is my favorite thing in the whole world. They are so... It's really just like two different species of human meeting each other, and it makes me laugh. It has made me laugh every day this week since I started seeing it.
At this point, we don't even know... Well, I don't even know or care about why they were meeting, what they discussed.
No, nobody cares.
Maybe, you know...
No.
Maybe they were discussing world peace, but nah.
Nobody cares. It's so funny.
Not a care at all.
Yesterday's burning platform was fiery, so if you want to hear some of that, then you can go and take a look. And I don't even know what to make of this, but we had Rob Hutchinson from Dear South Africa on, and then like someone on social media was like, "Oh, he doesn't work for them anymore; he was fired." So we ask Rob, like, "Have you been fired from Dear South Africa?" He's like, "No, these people are looking for attention." And these are supposedly sensible people. I mean, I just don't know what to make of stuff like this. People will talk such shit on social media, you know? They seem to make everything up. Just, it's totally made up nonsense. There's no way to figure it out.
Well, I don't know.
Who do you trust these days? I mean, who do you even know you can believe on social media? The list is like three names long, maybe. It's ridiculous. I've got to show you something that's very, very funny. Let me just find it on my phone here quickly and send it through, because this is I was on a bit of a roll last night. I just found all these hilarious things, including this doctor who a picture of Robert De Niro. And did you see that on my Instagram yesterday? A picture?
No.
Oh, God. Okay. You're in for a fun day. This is going to be hilarious. Let me just send this quickly. We've got this system now where I can put pictures up live on the show. And you can see them, obviously, like we did with the Carter picture just now. And it's hilarious. It's really funny.
Yeah, shame. If you're still not watching us on YouTube, then
Yeah, and by the way, I've any good YouTuber, and I'm supposing that we're now in that category, always reminds their audience, you've got to like and subscribe, and we're crap at that. So I always forget to tell you to like and subscribe, but you must please. It's very important for us. Otherwise, we don't know whether we... Yes. Yeah, thank you. There we go. See, yeah, that's the thing to show everybody. That is it. Beautiful. So first of all, let me show you this, because this is hilarious. This is a clip of a doctor. Well, it's supposed to be Dr. Fauci, but it's this guy talking about when America can eventually open up, and by implication, when the whole world can eventually open up, because everybody's asking, why are we still under a state of disaster in South Africa? Everybody's asking, why do we still have to mask our children when we know children don't die from this thing? why are we all still hand sanitizing and bothering with this ridiculous, stupid thing, even if we've been vaccinated, which is a good question. Mm-hmm. So here he is. Listen to this.
I'd say even if you live alone, I would wear a mask in the house, especially in the shower, because frankly, droplets can make the way through the drain and come up through somebody else's toilet, infecting them with COVID through the anus. Ballpark in 2 to 5 to 20 years, we can start thinking about considering the idea of pondering the thought of conceptualizing the possibility of maybe, perhaps, reopening, but probably not. I would avoid having any fun whatsoever in the near to far future.
Isn't that about right? Because that's, I mean, like, a lot of these people are talking like that. They're actually saying, oh, well, you know, maybe, maybe not. We've got to be super, super careful. And it's just bullshit. It really is. It's starting to sound like bullshit. And people are taking it less and less seriously.
Well, they're also saying things, but you aren't really understanding what they're saying. It's back to what we were discussing a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
People who speak, even if it's just mixing in, you know, professional corporate talk and jargon or medical jargon. So what are you exactly saying?
Well, I have to say, and this is a super controversial thing, but I think that this whole coronavirus thing has done one very, very dangerous thing to all of us. It has made us extremely suspicious of arguments from authority. In other words, it has made us doubt.
I'm refraining from singing the song.
Arguments from authority. What's the song you're thinking of? Oh, suspicious.
The suspicious song.
Sorry.
Yes.
I'm not on that wavelength yet. Maybe if Leanne was here, I'd be going, because I'm actually careful to use the word around her because I know she's going to burst out into song.
I know. It's like walking in landmines.
If we can be serious for a minute, it has made everybody doubtful of experts because a lot of these experts, instead of sticking to the field in which they are expert, have become experts in everything. Like, you know, if you ask an epidemiologist about something to do with the epidemic, if you ask someone who deals with infectious diseases about infectious diseases, then they are the right person to talk to. But the fact that there are experts now who are telling people how to live their lives, what they should do with masks, where they should go to the shops, that have nothing to do with any of those fields, just makes it all seem kind of ridiculous. And I think we've also learned that politicians will say and do just about anything to keep and to grow their power. So it's really, I think it's harmed human relations in a very serious way. I'm not just talking about the wild and wacky people on the fringes who believe that the vaccine is something dangerous. And I had this conversation with my parents yesterday. And, they're probably at an age where they should get the vaccine. And I'm supporting them on that front. I think if they want to do it, I'll support them 100%. But there are people who will say, oh, no, you've got to stay away. It's definitely dangerous. Sorry, if we'd had that attitude
do they still feel the same? Your parents?
I think they want to get it. I think they're in that age group where it's probably a good idea to get it. You know, I mean, a lot of people.
My parents have started to differ now.
What do you mean?
My mom is just a girl about town. She says she doesn't care about this. You know what? It's just her body and she's going to take care of it. Whereas my dad has now upped the ante with things now. He has a whole ritual every time he leaves the house and every time he comes back from outside and how he cleans himself off now. So they're different. So
your dad is behaving like we all did in April last year.
It's gotten slightly worse.
Sure.
You know, he's sort of sometimes actually kicks my mother out to and let her use the bathroom, you know, the other bathroom in the house as opposed to the ensuite bathroom, because now he has this whole thing where he, like, you know, has eucalyptus oil all over again, mm-hmm. and it's so steamy and stuffy in there. Then she starts complaining. Then they fight over that. So she goes, okay, then fine. I'll go and use that other bathroom then. You know, so he's really, really, really paranoid, extra paranoid now.
Yeah. And look, my parents are not paranoid, and I don't think they've ever been. And we kind of we made a decision as a family that we would all see each other the whole way through the lockdown anyway last year, and we did. We didn't let any of that get in our way. It was a family decision. Nobody got really sick or died, thank goodness. I mean, maybe, you know, if something like that had happened, we would be sitting here going, we shouldn't have. Hello, Leanne Moll.
Ah,
there she is. But we decided to.
Why are you here so early? I thought we started 6:30.
This reminds me of the old days when I used to read the news for you.
Exactly that. Exactly.
You're having a Monday on a Friday.
Yeah, we're just talking about our parents and their different responses to everything, including the vaccine. But I had a conversation with them yesterday, and I said to them, look, what do you guys really feel? Because we haven't talked about it seriously. We don't have very many serious conversations as a family. It's just not our thing. So normally it's, you know, taking the piss and laughing at each other. Anyway, they both said, look, if it's not too much of a schlep, they'll get the vaccine. If it's a schlep and they have to wait in a queue or they have to go somewhere far away, then they're not going to do it. But if it's close and it's nearby, they think it's a good idea to get it, because as my dad said, and he's very like rational about this, nobody who gets the vaccine gets very sick and has to go to hospital or dies from it. So they are, he said, that's a good enough reason for him. And I said to him, cool. And we don't have a say as your children. You go ahead and do it, because they've got a friend who she can't see her grandchildren because her daughter won't let her into the house unless she's been vaccinated. I think that's horrible.
Oh, my word.
But, you know, different strokes, hey? Everybody has their rules. I know people who are still as scared, and we were talking about Sia's father just now, who has a whole ritual about cleaning himself off before he gets into the house, and he has hand sanitizer and a whole ritual. And you know what? I'm not going to mock people like that, because that it's all about them. It's all about their own level of comfort. And if your level of comfort is, I don't give a shit, then that's fine. I'm not going to bother getting upset about it. And if your level of comfort is being extremely, extremely careful just in case, that's also fine. I do think it's ridiculous if you wear a mask in the car on your own. That's where I draw the line. I'm like, that's stupid. And I see so many people doing that. It's crazy. I saw it on the highway.
Yeah. Or if you're taking a walk and you're miles from anyone and you're wearing a mask.
Well, exactly.
Look, I do get where my dad comes from. And, you know, he's from that era where you don't really talk much about your feelings and you don't even acknowledge your emotions. But I think he's been through a lot that would really change a person.
Yeah.
You know, being a priest and you go and help families in sometimes the most disastrous in times of need.
Sure,
you know, it's now in retrospect where we look at some of the stories that he's told us and we go, this is not healthy. This is not normal. Mm. You know, he's gone and helped kids after their family home has burned down and their parents have died in a fire. And I'm like, this is not what regular people should be going through. And you can't just shrug that off as if that's normal. You know, I only retell that story because he went through months of not eating meat after that happened, because he said he went to help this family out and the smell of burning bodies was still so rife in the air. So I'm like, man. So right now with these times that we're in, he has been going out and conducting funeral after funeral after funeral.
Mm.
And that has
shame
inadvertedly and understandably left a mark on him.
That is such a tough gig.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
That is a really hard job to do. And Yeah, obviously, depending on how exposed you are to other people and their trials and tribulations, it also gives you a huge deal of empathy that the rest of us can't muster, you know. And yeah. And I'm afraid there are people like me who, even when someone who's maybe not in the family, but someone who's like one degree away dies of this thing, I'm still like, ah, well, you know, it's going to kill. It's going to kill some people. Sorry.
There are varying degrees of all of this because I spend so much time at home, I actually sometimes forget the need for a mask. I've lost count of the number of times I have to turn around and actually come back and get a mask because I'm so not used to it. So, depends how much we're all exposed to this.
All right, enough about Corona for the morning. We don't need to start our Friday like that, but it did come up and I thought it was an interesting discussion to have yesterday. So take a look at this quickly. This is a picture of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. And the two of them are, it's comparing how they looked in like 1995 and how they look now. Look at this.
Oh.
Right, so there they are. In 1995,
Al Pacino could do with a bit of a tidying up of his hair, but otherwise, they look very jolly and still full of life, man.
Listen, I mean, this is cruel father time, right? This is how one day people be putting pictures of us up like this. I mean, maybe they already are because, you know, if you compare us to how we looked maybe 15 years ago when we were doing that morning show, then maybe people would be disappointed in how badly we've aged. But I look at, Bob De Niro's, he's still not a bad looking dude. And Al Pacino's, he looks pretty messy. He looks like that king from, he looks like that dirty old king from Lord of the Rings. The one who's in charge
it's
of
just
like,
his hair. Otherwise,
I don't know, hey.
Not bad.
I actually prefer my 2020 version of De Niro than the 1995 one.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. He looks more distinguished. He looks, he has more character.
Okay.
The younger version looks a little all over the place.
Well, good for them then. I mean, they've won you over, Sia. That's very good news. However, take a look at this picture of Bill and Melinda Gates, who we've been talking about a lot this week. And let me hear your comments, all right? Who do you want to start? Let's start with the grandma on the right, Bill.
Yeah.
She is not a grandma, Gareth.
That's a grandma on the right. Bill looks like an old granny.
Oh, sorry.
I was waiting for the penny to drop for Sia.
No, Melinda looks like Melinda looks like a man, but Bill looks like a granny. Come on.
So you know what's interesting, Gareth, about old age?
Yeah.
Is that men start producing less testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can see that.
Their features become more feminine. And women stop producing as much estrogen.
Correct.
So it's bound to happen.
So in other words, we all become a little bit more androgynous.
Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this poster.
It's so true.
Look at this poster they used in Wales to advertise how people can warm their houses up, especially for old people. And if you can help, it's like a charity drive. And they used Paul McCartney as their poster boy. Look at this.
Come on. Oh, no.
No one wants to live in a cold home.
That is very Paul McCartney-esque.
It is, right? I mean, that's very Paul McCartney. Mm. So anyway, the one person who's
I think Melinda's going to have a great old time now. She looks decent for a 56-year-old.
Love to know what's gone on there. But I also wish...
What do you mean?
That I was just, like, I was one of their kids.
You don't think, because we discussed this on Wednesday and we said, it's just two people that don't love each other anymore, or they've the kids have moved out now. The last of their kids has moved out of the house and they've got all this money and they've got time because they're still, like, Bill is 65 or something, Sia, you said, and Melinda's in her late 50s. They've still got a fair amount of life in front of them. I don't think there's anything conspiratorial going on there. They need to start their own households.
The only reason, I mean, they've got enough money to even live in separate houses if it was at that point where they weren't amicable anymore or had irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. So the only reason why there would need to be a divorce on paper mm-hmm. is if one of them was moving on into another relationship. That's the way Ooh. I see it.
Oh, that good point.
That is a good point. I mean, otherwise, why bother? You could just separate and, you know, carry on with your life. Or not even
five houses.
Yeah,
they're very busy. They could actually avoid seeing each other for half of the year because this one is in the Congo. So, the other one is, you know, starting a new business there. Good.
We'll know if Leanne is right because obviously, in a few months, it'll all. You know, someone.
And let's remember that Melinda was the one who filed. So I reckon she may be pursuing another relationship. Perhaps she's had a change of
gender.
Gender preference. Or it seems like.
I'm just referring to
that. And especially
picture.
Because they've. Yeah, and especially because they've had children. They've got children who, and they just seem like a really wholesome bunch.
Yeah.
It feels like she wouldn't pursue another relationship publicly or in front of her children without sealing off this one.
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah, and I brought this up a little earlier this week, and Gareth and Bulelo didn't disagree with me on this. Do you think there's such a thing as being too eligible?
What, to the point that it's suspicious?
Don't be suspicious.
You just keep yourself up there. No, I mean, wouldn't you be slightly intimidated to hit on a Bill Gates or a Melinda Gates? You're successful, you're powerful, you have so much money. Would you not think even slightly like, oof, what do I have to give someone like this?
You've got to remember that there are people too. I mean, just this week, there was a woman on a dating app who was matched with Ben Affleck. And she thought, well, this must be a scam. Someone's using his photograph and his name. And so she said no or swiped left or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Affleck left her a video on her Instagram, her direct messages, and said, hey, so-and-so, you know, why did you not take me seriously? I am in the dating game.
How's that?
And she's like this highly attractive woman. And she totally regrets this now. And Ben Affleck has come out and admitted that he's on dating apps because he's looking for a date.
Good for him, first of all. I mean, you know, a lot of people, he's too good for that. But I reckon that's the only way you can if you want a relationship. Now, it's probably the only way you can do it. Because these days, where do you go to meet people? You're always going to meet people either in your circle or your friend's circle, but it's never going to be more than 1 or 2 degrees from that. And you've probably met them already in that case. And, you know, if you live in a big city, for example, especially in America, that Los Angeles has been very strict about lockdowns for a very long time. How does Ben Affleck, if that's where he lives, how does he meet people? And how does he meet people who don't, you know, who aren't going to have a problem with the fact that he's Ben Affleck, for example? So I think that's a really cool story. It just proves, and this doesn't mean that if you see a celebrity on a dating app, everybody, that's for real.
You should
treat that with a pinch of salt, but that's a cool story.
I guess perhaps it's just my own insecurities then coming to play. There are certain people, like Ben, you're an actor, but like David Attenborough, I wouldn't know what would you say to a person like that. You know, what is date night like? You want to come back and sit on the couch? Do I even want to show you my Netflix recommendation? Because I feel like that would dumb you down. I feel like I'd have to talk about the penguins that are covered in oil. Let's talk about world issues. You don't want to see the housewives.
But also remember that a person like that is not necessarily seeking someone with exactly the same mm-hmm. outlook on life. They're enchanted by and attracted to your way of life and certain things about yourself that you didn't realize were that important.
I just want to refer to Clinton's comment here, because this is maybe something everybody's thinking about this Bill and Melinda Gates situation. Clinton says, the two richest men in the world, that's Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, couldn't keep their women. How am I supposed to keep mine?
That extends to a point I wanted to raise this morning, but let's go to the things there, then I'll bring it up.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, it's already the five things time. So let's move on to that. Jesus, I didn't even see
part of the five things.
It's crazy, right? Yeah. You get into a conversation. Okay. So first thing, Zondo Commission. Kevin Wakeford says Agritzi was a greedy and narcissistic man. Kevin Wakeford is the guy who's accusing former Bosasa COO Angelo Agritzi of being a racist, a narcissist, and greedy. Wakeford denied allegations by Agritzi that he negotiated a contract between Bosasa and the Home Affairs Department. Wakeford appeared at the State Capture Inquiry to respond to testimony which implicated him as a facilitator and benefactor in some of Bosasa's untoward business dealings. He worked as a consultant on a monthly retainer of 50,000 rand at Bosasa for 10 years. So, all right, Kevin, if you weren't there trying to facilitate dodgy deals, what were they paying you 50 grand a month for 10 years for? You know, that's a fairly big consultancy fee, and you must have been doing other work as well. So you were earning good money. You know, that's what exactly were you doing as a consultant for Bosasa? Like, what does your consultancy include? That's what everyone wants to know. And of course, you know, the Watsons come into this because they were the guys at the top of the Bosasa tree. The Watsons gave white people credibility and legitimacy in the country, he said. It is those people who played township rugby, built companies, and were empowering. I mean, what a lot of shit. What an absolute steaming pile of shit. So I don't believe a word that this guy says, but maybe it's just me. I also don't necessarily know if I can believe everything that Agritzi said, but we should be treating all of this with a huge degree of suspicion.
Don't be suspicious. All
right. Anyway, ANC spokesperson Pule Mabe has reiterated that Cyril Ramaphosa was not suspended as the party's president. The ANC suspended Secretary General Ace Magashule wrote a letter to Ramaphosa this week informing him of his suspension. Ramaphosa told the party's parliamentary caucus he received this with shock and dismay. Cyril's always shocked, eh? Shock. It's always shock and dismay. Anyway, Magashule is one of the party's leaders affected by the ANC's 2017 resolution to step aside or face suspension if he is accused of corruption. Mabe says Magashule should not act on his own accord. We are a collective. The president or the deputy president alone does not constitute a collective, but the president, along with other officials, forms a collective. Oh, thanks, Pule. We all needed you to explain that to us like we're morons. The only morons I can see in this story are the ANC.
I wonder who had to tell the president that this was going on. Because, you know, it was late on, was Wednesday or Tuesday? Wednesday night. So was the president asleep at the time?
I don't know.
Then does someone have to wake him up and go, Mr. President?
Someone who's already up and dressed and in a suit and been awake all night.
Mr. President, the idiot that you your party suspended this afternoon is now saying you're suspended. How do you want to deal with this?
Yes.
So it's like, just tell them I'm shocked and dismayed and turns over and goes back to sleep.
Yes.
DA Gauteng leader Solim Simanga has been assaulted by a man who had earlier charged the politician was a thief and a liar. A video showing a bleeding Simanga has now made its way to social media. In it, the alleged attacker can be heard screaming at him, who's on the phone while bleeding from the mouth, and just above his left eye, there's a cut. The alleged attacker is claiming that Sully owes him 1.4 million rand. Oy, oy, oy. You're a liar and a thief, he says, and this is what happens to liars and thieves. And you don't try to turn this into a political storm for yourself in my direction. You owe me money and I want it, said the angry, unidentified man. Have you got that video?
This doesn't happen in certain other countries, you know.
Jesus.
I didn't know if we could play it or not because it's quite bloody. So I don't know what the YouTube graphic regulations are. Next thing we're banned for life. So.
All right. Well, then we won't play it. But anyway, I haven't seen the video myself, so don't feel like.
But also, it's weird because he didn't kind of clean himself up. He left himself that way for a long time so that, you know, cameras and everything could get the benefit of seeing him.
Well, I wonder what's really going on there. Do you think Sully owes people money or do you think that this is some dude who's a bit crazy? Don't know, right?
Because another thing that happened in the video that's not mentioned in that article is that the man who took the video alleges that Sully had a gun on him.
Oh.
So either pointed the gun at the person who took the video or actually like hit him with a gun, but there was a bit of an altercation around the gun as well. So
I don't know what to make of it. To be perfectly frank, it's all just very confusing. Tula Sinxesi, you remember him? He's the minister. He joined some workers at a meeting in Dudurens. Do you know where that is? It's there.
Somewhere in the middle of South Africa.
Dudurens is, no, it's somewhere in the Western Cape, I think. Right? It's in Worcester. Uh-huh. So apparently farm workers have raised concern over access to the UIF, and Tula Sinxesi was there. So they all got together and he joined them on video. Farm workers have highlighted issues such as long waiting periods to access UIF benefits, as well as a lack of staff and resources at the UIF offices. Well, I mean, anyone who applied for TERS last year from the government knows that these systems do not always work well. Remember how it was round about this time last year that we were all starting to wonder how we could file for that stuff, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So we could help people
make... I actually did, and I was successful.
Good for you. I mean, we had to do it as well, and we managed to get, I think, 2 months of TERS for everybody on our staff. But, you know, it's
rhymes with turds.
It is like turds, but, you know, thankfully it helped a little bit. But that's not, it's not government's money. That's money that we've all put aside to the UIF. So it actually came out of your salary anyway, and you deserve it. It's your money.
Mm.
So they've got to sort out the systems. That's basically the story. And this story from Afghanistan, we were talking about it briefly yesterday. So they've pulled out of Afghanistan, and now there's already chaos. Heavy bombers and fighter jets are going to be deployed to safeguard troops and civilian contractors in Afghanistan. The US and NATO have had a presence there for almost 20 years. Joe Biden set the withdrawal deadline for 11 September, which is the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks that sparked the war. 20 years, hey, since that happened in September this year. But the withdrawal comes amid escalating violence with Afghan security forces on high alert for reprisal attacks. The Taliban have warned that they're no longer bound by an agreement not to target international troops. So it's just getting more and more messy. And those are your headlines. All right. So Sia, you looked at the top 10 richest people, and this links to what we were talking about just a moment ago with Bill and Melinda and Jeff Bezos and his wife, Mackenzie. Of the 10 richest people, how many are still married? This might be an interesting thing to see.
Yeah, interesting to look at. Only 3 in the top 10 are still married.
Right.
As opposed to the rest are all divorced.
Well, we've got Jeff Bezos, we've got Bernard Arnault,
Elon Musk. Oh,
sorry. There we go. All right, so we've got Jeff Bezos, we've got Bernard Arnault, we've got Elon Musk, we've got Bill Gates, all divorced. Mark Zuckerberg still married to his wife. Warren Buffett, Larry Page still married. Larry Ellison divorced. Oh. Sergey Brin from Google divorced. And Amancio Ortega divorced. What do you make of that?
Yeah, is it just a coincidence or is it just telling? Does it tell you a lot about marriage and how much is needed to make marriage work? Or is it just a thing of I don't know, these people who are on these lists and how much they prioritize and sacrifice. So, for example, marriage is just not something that they have at the top of their list.
No, I think that when you have lots and lots of money, you just have lots and lots of options. So it's merely a question of...
In terms of?
Well, if you're very rich and you have tons of cash in the bank, you can afford to leave each other. You know, and you don't have to be super rich, but this is a fact of even South African divorces, is that very, very poor people usually have to stay together. There's usually a joint income in the household. It's very, very hard for these people to get away from each other. One of the reasons that so many women are in unhappy marriages is because they need the money, you know, or they're the kids. That's another point. So if you're extremely wealthy like these people are, both of the two people in the relationship can afford to go off and do their own thing. You just have more options at your disposal.
The thing here, though, is that those just fall in line with normal statistics, which is 1 in 4 marriages will survive.
1 in 4 will survive. Is that all that's left, huh?
Yeah. In fact, it's even different because it's even more extreme now, because that was a stat when I was getting married. And, you know, in order to get married in a church, you have to go for lessons and counseling, weeks worth. And I remember that being the opening lesson from our minister, was that there were four of us. And he said, only one of your marriages will survive.
That's a delight to hear.
Well, it wasn't yours.
And it's also interesting how you think, oh, well, that'll be us.
It wasn't
Look
yours.
At you now.
It wasn't yours, Leanne. You guys didn't.
No.
I don't really know much about Larry. I don't know much about Larry Page's personal life, but yeah, it is Mark Zuckerberg's first marriage. Mm-hmm. This is Warren Buffett's second marriage. Okay. So he has already had a divorce, if you want to be technical about it.
Sure.
Mm. And I think it's a little weird, but lest we forget, he married his wife's best friend, who he's currently married to.
I think it doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. People just do what people do, and we are unpredictable creatures in some ways because we have emotions, and you can never really figure out what someone's emotions might be from one day to the next, no matter how stable they are. And we are also very predictable in facts that Leanne has brought to light here, like 1 in 4 marriages survive. So we shouldn't maybe be surprised. I don't know. Maybe we treat people who've made lots and lots of money like they know something the rest of us don't. And they often do not. You know, it takes one lucky break for anybody to become super, super rich, just like it takes one very bad mistake to make someone very, very poor sometimes. I don't know.
It also takes one lucky break to fall genuinely in love with someone forever.
Sure. Of course. You know, you do. Sometimes you meet someone who's just perfect, perfect, perfect for you. And I've seen couples who've been married for more than 20 years who are as happy as can be. And then I've seen people who get married and within 2 months of the wedding, they are just at each other's throats. It's not working. Maybe they didn't apply themselves properly, but maybe it just is. Maybe it just isn't meant to be, you know? I don't think divorce carries nearly the amount of stigma that it used to.
Definitely not.
So let people do their thing. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if there is a small component of this that has to do with the fact that if you have more money, you have more options. So it's easier to leave.
It's still not an easy decision to make.
No.
I would say.
Of course not. Well, listen, I mean, you know, some people who are very, very uptight about these things, and maybe they've got a point. I'm not going to judge them. Some people say, well, you make a vow. It's like you're making a promise to that other person that you're going to stick it out. You're going to figure it out. You're going to work through all the problems. No matter what happens, I'm committing to you for better or for worse, sick and healthy, rich and poor. And some people take that vow extremely seriously. It's like if I promise Leanne that I will pay her at the end of this month. And, you know, if I break that promise, then she doesn't have to trust me again.
Or I'll just kill you.
Or you could just kill me. And in a relationship, I think that that's, to some people, it's deeply, deeply meaningful and important. Otherwise, don't get married. Just be together. But if you're going to do it, then it might as well mean something, right? That's how the one side treats it. The other side go, well, look, marriage is just another contractual obligation. If, like any contract, we decide that this isn't working, these are the exit clauses. And we're going to be practical about it, and we're not going to beat each other up about it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Too bad. And you can be anywhere from the one extreme to the other on that scale, and I'm not going to judge you. I think both are respectable decisions, and you're allowed to make your decision accordingly. But just don't tell other people how to live their lives.
I think that also what's interesting is that people are taking marriage more seriously in terms of starting out. So whether deciding to get married or not.
Oh, right.
A lot of people are only doing it for specific reasons, whether they are religious and, you know, need to show a sign of commitment before they can be together as partners.
Right.
Or whether it's because they want their children to be brought up in a home of a married couple. Or whether they want to tie their business interests together. But I don't think that. Thanks for my title there, Gareth. It does carry some gravitas and gives me some importance, which, you know, some credibility. but I think that because people are taking their time and in making the decision to get married, or they're just not getting married at all, is making a world of difference. I think divorce statistics will probably change in the next 10 to 15 years.
Just to point out what Deanne's talking about for those people who are listening on the podcast, I just every morning on YouTube, when someone is on the screen on their own, it's got like a their name and it says Leanne Moll. And then in brackets, I change it every single day. So this morning it said divorced. But I think, didn't I refer to you in my book as bitter divorcee, Leanne Moll?
Yes, you did. In fact, if you Google my name, that's what comes up.
Really?
Oh, no.
It's stuck.
Wait, hang on. Oh, that's hilarious, Leanne Moll. Hang on, let me have a look.
Does it need a bit of a no, Google scrub?
You might have to go Leanne Moll divorce
Your Twitter comes up, then your LinkedIn, and it says what you do, and then it says Leanne Moll is a podcast contributor at cliffcentral.com, blah, blah, blah. Oh, here we are. Gareth Cliff, bitter divorcee, Leanne Moll. It's like the fifth one. this is so great. It says, okay, hang on a second. This is so great. Yes, this is terrific. Oh, my God. All right, it says, bitter divorcee Leanne Moll says an engagement ring is a gift and you can keep it even if you break it off like XX. I say you may reclaim it and use it a second time for a younger, better fiancé. What do you say? Bitter divorcee. Oh, that's hilarious.
And it's true. I kept both my engagement rings and sold them eventually at an auction place. But there's even a place now, I think it's called Divorce My Jewelry or Divorce My Diamonds, that you can take your diamonds to. But wow, that's exactly what it works out to be if you have an anti-nuptial contract, is if those sorts of things are considered gifts.
Sure.
Even if the mother-in-law gives the son-in-law a gift, that stays a gift. You don't win it back. So if it's a big painting or something like that, they take that with them.
Fundo says a relationship will either build you or destroy you. And that's very dramatic, but I think he's right. You know, I think maybe, you know, I've seen some people just totally leveled when a relationship goes badly for them and they don't recover for years. They man down or woman down for a long time.
I'm still in recovery from my last relationship.
Yeah. No, I can understand.
And that was 5 years ago. I'm still, it's psychologically so deep for me. I still dream about the person at least every second night.
Sure.
It's very, very, very difficult relationship to get over. Some you'll barely remember, but others cut deep.
And, you know, for now, we've only spoken about divorce in context of just two people, but we haven't even thought about and factored in what it does to kids. Weekly Oprah mention. Old Oprah episode I was rewatching this week was an episode she did on adult children of divorce who still harbor emotions and feelings around it. And it's fun, just because you are now 18 years old and an adult doesn't mean you know, your emotions have just vanished into thin air. But to, you know, when you are 6 years old and Christmas is the most important thing to you, and now you have to find out that actually you need, daddy won't be there, and then you need to go there to the second house for, you know, for the next weekend, and what that does to you, and you've never seen your parents at the dinner table together, that'll make an impact, huh?
Well, listen to these two opposing points of view. Here's Daniel, who says, divorce should carry a stigma. The nuclear family has value. Kids need both parents. It adds unbelievable value, I believe. I think that that's about right, especially when it comes to kids. But, you know, if two adults who have not had children decide after a couple of years of being together that they don't want to be together anymore, that sort of divorce, I don't think, necessarily carries the same stigma. If you're going to have kids together, it's a very serious decision and needs to be taken seriously. Tabo says, people get married because they put marriage on a pedestal. Marriage is not for everyone. It's okay if you're not married. It's not an achievement. Not if people are doing it for the wrong reasons. Also, all very valid points, right?
Yep, very much so.
Basitsana says, I'm still carrying the physical and emotional weight from my past relationship. We ended it 3 years ago. He still sends me birthday gifts every year. I'm complicit because I still accept them. Yeah, you see. That's also
You did good, good. If he's still sending gifts,
you got to draw the line somewhere. Like I like to get along with all my exes, and I think for the most part I do. I don't have any. There's no one. If I saw any of those girls I've dated before, and I saw any of them today at the shops, none of it would be weird. It would be like, hey, how are you? Wouldn't be weird.
Ooh, total opposite for me.
No, I know.
0.0, Gareth.
What do you mean? No, there would be no weirdness. It wouldn't. But I'm also not, you know, they're not into me anymore, and I'm not into them anymore, which is part of why it works. You know, with this guy who's sending Basitsana these gifts, he obviously still feels very deeply for her, and maybe she does for him too. The lines are getting blurry. Do you know what I mean?
Man, it's so difficult. There just are no rules, and there should be no judgment, really. Anything applies.
Excuse me with all of the sneezing. It's definitely
very snotty, eh? Very,
it's so sneezy this morning. Ridiculous.
You're like a little dwarf.
Well, apparently, this is interesting. Bill Gates' family, and then we'll leave this alone. Leanne will tell us in the next hour, because it's already 7 o'clock. But Bill Gates' family are furious about a secret trip that he's doing ahead of the divorce. So that could be a sign that something more is going on. We'll find out in the next hour. CliffCentral.com on a Friday morning. I hope you're having an awesome day and your day has started off beautifully. Not like mine and Leanne, where we overslept. And we will be with you in a second. CliffCentral.com.